Generally, I have somebody pray for me before I preach. But once again, I want to pray for you. Our theme this morning is joy, and it's a hard one for some people. And so hopefully this morning we'll reframe it for you so that you can experience the joy that maybe you need. So let me just pray for you. Just kind of cup your hands, if you would, like you were to stick your hands under a faucet of water and let the water flow in there. So make your hands like a cup. And I want to pray into that space that you're holding out in front of you. Holy Spirit, right now, as I begin to share with what you've been telling me throughout this week, I ask that you would deposit into the lives sitting here this morning the active presence of your Spirit, that you would fill their lives with the joy that they desire and that they need. In your Son's name I pray, amen. So we're on this journey. We're calling Songs for the Journey out of the Psalms of Ascent in the book of Psalms, Psalm 120 to 134. And to really help you, we're not doing them in order. Because sometimes you just need to shuffle the playlist. Right? Sometimes it just needs to be shuffled. But these psalms that we're looking at were the playlist of the Israelites as they went up to the temple to worship their God. They would sing these psalms of praise back to God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And each one of them has kind of a theme running through them. And this morning we're going to be focusing on joy. We've been looking at, first we looked at humility, and we talked about the fact that there's this pervading thing in culture that says, I've got this, because we like to get things. I've got this one. I don't really need anybody else. I've got this. And we need to put that down and let God be God. And then we talked about the concept of worship, and worship is just responding to the goodness that God has already given us. And so we need to keep our eyes open to the things that he is doing, and we gave you some homework to look for God moments throughout your day. And I've heard all kinds of stories of those of you who did this and put this into practice. I think we're going to continue this one throughout the year. And so anytime you have one of those God moments, whatever on whatever social media you're on, just put hashtag God moment. And it could be anything. The other day I was in the parking lot of ShopRite, and this is just a side thing. My biggest pet peeve is when people don't put the carts back. Right? That is just, I don't understand. I know this is a first world problem. It's because we have carts that this is an issue. But when people don't put the carts back, I'm just like, because I've worked service before where you serve people, and if you've been in any kind of service industry, like if you worked in retail and you have to refold those clothes, like that person that comes and just unfolds like 16 of them and just walks on, like somebody's got to fold that, right? And so when you just leave that cart in the middle of nowhere, there's inside of me, I'm like, somebody's got to come and find that thing. So I walked around and I picked up like six or seven of them and I put them back, and I was parked right in front of the cart thing. And when I came back, somebody left a cart behind my car. And out of my mouth comes, "You've got to be kidding me!" And there's this lady I know from a little league about four cars over, and she looked at me like, "You're right, Pastor." And I just sat in my car, and I felt like God gently instruct me with, "Jeff, I've been so gracious to you. You don't know why that person left that cart in the middle of the road. Maybe they were in a hurry. Maybe something happened." And I had a little God moment. It could be anything. Whatever that God moment is that gets you to redirect your day to God, let's focus on that. And last week, Jaime beautifully rephrased repentance for us. That when we hear that word repentance, there's like this uneasiness that takes place in our soul because of the image that we have of repentance. But repentance is a good thing. It's the first aspect of the good news, to repent and turn to God, to turn away from what you're doing and turn to God, because he's got good stuff for you. And the quicker you do it, the better off you're going to be. The farther you run from turning from God, the worse off you're going to be. And he beautifully painted that for us. And this morning, I want to focus on joy. And so a couple weeks ago when I was preaching on worship, I gave you some images that might help you with that, those feelings of joy that we feel. Right? And so maybe this is joy. Some of you are like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. That's not joy to me. That's painful. So maybe some of these will help. Like, I shared a couple of these with you. Puppies, like, come on, right? Just, oh, yeah, and if you don't like dogs, I gave you cats. I'm not showing cats this morning. It's not, doesn't do anything for me. A good hike yesterday. We had a great hike up Hook Mountain for those of you who were able to come. Sweaty and nasty and gross, and then you get to the top and you can see 360 degrees of Rockin' County and the river, and just this feeling of accomplishing something, of seeing those beautiful sights. Maybe a sunset. A buddy of mine posted this on Facebook. This is North Bay, Maryland. And just as that sun just sets over the ocean, and God paints this beautiful picture that only he could paint, these feelings of joy invade our souls. And I told you, like, for us as parents, like when Caleb hit his first home run, there's just something inside you. You're like, yay, finally. Last night, if you're a football fan, it was the induction into the NFL Hall of Fame. And this is LaDainian Tomlinson. He's one of the youngest running backs to ever be inducted in the Hall of Fame. He's only 38 years old. And broke all kinds of records. And it was fun listening to the guys, but more than anything else in the world, when they thanked their parents, and the camera went on the parents, this was his mom. Can you just see the joy in those glistening eyes as she sees her son accomplishing something that she knew early on in his life she could accomplish? And both of them gave praise and adoration to God who gave LaDainian the ability that he had. And those are all feelings. They invoke feelings. I kind of want to reframe joy for you this morning and say that joy is really not a feeling. It's a state. So the happiness that comes out of these situations, right? That happiness that comes out of these situations is happiness, but underneath all of that is a state of joy. So happiness can come and go. We sing songs about it. I feel happy. Well, right now I don't. Maybe right now I don't. But the feeling doesn't affect joy or shouldn't affect joy, and we're going to talk about that this morning. So if you have your Bible, open up to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, it's page 605 in the Pew Bible in front of you, or pull out your app, whatever you have. Psalm 126 in the Pew Bible, it's the top left-hand side of that page on page 605. It's a shorty but a goodie, and we're going to read it this morning and really look at what the Israelites saw as joy. In verse 1 it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. So I want to look at three things in this tiny little passage that I see very quickly in these six verses. First, I see that joy comes in their returning. And we'll talk about what their returning was. that joy is actually a result of God, not of anything that they have done, and that there's joy in each and every situation. And so, where's the joy in my current situation? So just to give you a foreshadowing of what's going to happen at the end of the service, at the end of the service, our response is going to be, if this morning you showed up and you're not feeling joy, or the circumstance in your life is keeping you from understanding and receiving or realizing that you can have joy, I'm going to ask you to stand, and the rest of us who are feeling joyful this morning are going to pray over you. That's the response. So you know it's coming. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're just not feeling joyful. That's great, Pastor Jeff. You can talk about joy all you want. I ain't feeling it right now. I want to pray for you because it's really not a feeling. It's a state. And so we need to do some backstory just to help you understand why they're singing this song. Like I said, the Israelites sang these songs of ascent on their way to the temple to worship God. And so they start off in the first part, as we look through their story. The Israelites came out of Egypt after spending 400 years in captivity. We talked about this early on when we were talking about these Psalms. So they spent 400 years in captivity, and then they were set free. So like one day, they were making bricks out of clay, and the next day they were in the Promised Land. There was a quick turn that took place, which is now modern-day Israel. They experienced intervals of freedom and captivity. So even once they made it into the land that God had given them, there were several times where they were taken into captivity for a short period of time, and then they were set free by somebody. In the book of Judges, we see story after story after story of this. And now currently, in the current situation in which they're in, it's a time of freedom. All right? So when they're singing this song right now, currently for them, it's easy. They're going up to the temple. They're in a time of freedom. They're not under captivity at this point. So the Israelites are pretty joyous. But they shared their history around campfires. And everybody that grew up in Israel knew the stories. They would sit around campfires every night. Just imagine that. Imagine no television, and no Wi-Fi, and no cell phones getting in the way. Just everybody in the community just kind of sitting around the campfire telling stories of the good old days and the bad old days. You know what happened when we were kids? You know what happened when your great-grandparents were kids? They were in captivity. They didn't have the freedom that you have now. They were making bricks for their slave owners. And they told the stories each and every single night. And everyone knew the history. And they knew that history as they sang these songs of praise up to the temple. So let's look at the first verse and a half. And this section, I'm titling Joy in the Returning. Right? So in the first verse we see, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. They're talking about the history of their lineage, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt. When they came out of bondage, they went from building and making stuff for the Egyptians into freedom. It was, the sky is the limit. One day they're building bricks. The next day, God is parting the Red Sea for them to walk through on dry land. Talk about a culture shift. And they're following God, and he's doing all kinds of miraculous things. He's taking care of them. He's feeding them. He's giving them water. He's giving them food, everything that they need. And when they think about the freedom that God has given them, they're filled with joy. Their ancestors could only dream about it, but now they're living in it. And so as they're singing this song of praise, they're thinking about their ancestors, but also recognizing the fact that they're sitting in a time of freedom. And so for them, it's easy. Our ancestors could only dream about it, but now we have it. Praise God. And the reaction was laughter of their tongues and songs of joy. And this joy that they were experiencing, that they were singing about, that they were laughing about, really is this connotation of shouts of praise or cries out, crying out, shrieking out. I don't know what that sounded like. Last night, my wife and I were trying to fall asleep, and some neighbors down the street were having all kinds of shouts of joy. And part of me was like, shut up, go to sleep. What's wrong with you? It's after midnight. When you experience the freedom that comes only from God, you can't help but shout out praise to God. You can't help but exude it from your being. And they shouted songs of praise, and they cried out songs of praise, and they laughed as they went. I don't know if you've ever been in a room when somebody just like laughs from here. We have a couple people that I know who have amazing laughs, and I will not point out any of them. They may be sitting in the back. And every time that person laughs, and you know it comes from their entire being, it's really hard not to join them in laughter. There's been studies on this where they just send people out into the streets to just start laughing, and they videotape it. And next thing you know, after like 5 or so minutes, everybody's laughing, and they have no idea why they're laughing. Just because that person is laughing, they all get sucked in. So when the joy of the Lord took over one of them, and their response was this laughter, they couldn't help but contagiously grab everybody into where they were, filled with joy and responding to it as they went. Can you just hear it? That laughter, that joy ringing out. Maybe you can. It's okay. We'll get you there this morning. There's been a lot of stories and movies put out recently about being rescued. And generally, I go to movies to see some action or something to cause or exude joy in my life. My wife and I got 2 date days this week, and for whatever reason, I chose Dunkirk and Detroit, neither of which will cause any kind of joy inside of me. With the exception of when you see somebody come out of a terrible situation and the joy that can overtake them, the shift that takes place. I don't know if you know this, and I'm not ruining anything. This is history, and if you don't know it, it's your fault, not mine. Dunkirk, at the time, was the largest rescue by water in the history of mankind. 340,000 people were rescued from France by boats. And as the picture that is painted, from what I understand, which is very close to what really took place, when a boat would arrive to take them, people are just rushing that boat to the point where they're kicking people off because they don't want it to be capsized. Why? Because you don't want to be in that place anymore. They didn't want to be stuck on a beach with the enemy coming with guns and tanks to shoot them with no real way of rescue except for those boats that arrived. And people throughout the island of Great Britain came to rescue the everyday guy jumping on their sailboat to come and rescue. And was the largest rescue by sea at the time, only to be outdone on 9/11, where over 500,000 people were rescued from the southern part of Manhattan by boats from up and down the Hudson River. When you're stuck in that place of terror and discouragement and fear, and then you are rescued and brought into a place of freedom, there is a shift that takes place. There's a shift in your soul that takes place. And as they finished up Dunkirk, when they arrive at Great Britain, thinking they were failures for not accomplishing the mission at hand, as the whole community came out because they were saved, shouts of joy, feeding them, clothing them, all the good things that we desire in life. It's the picture that we get as the Israelites go to the temple to praise and worship God who has saved them. And today, 2,000 years later, our response to a God who has saved us can and must be worship and shouts of joy. But Pastor, what about my circumstance? We'll get there. Joy in this passage of Scripture is the result of God. And I believe that joy is always the result of God. We see this in verse 2, part B. Then it was said, among the nations, the Lord has done great things. Everybody that saw the Israelites didn't think it was the man who brought them out. They saw the God that they served. So the whole community saw the God that they served as the responsible one for the freedom that the Israelites now experienced. It was God. The Lord has done. Then their response is, yes, you, all those of you who live around us, who see that it's our God, yes, it was God who got us here. It had nothing to do with us. If it was up to us, we wouldn't have been set free. It had to be God doing it for us. And the reaction to that was they were filled with joy. And I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul that joy is a state that has resulted only from God. The Lord is the reason for their joy. Those around the Israelites identified God as the one who brought them out. The Israelites identified God as the one who made the difference. And the result was this state of joy. In our community, in our American culture that we live in, we're constantly looking for this thing called happiness. The kids were trying to identify it this morning. I just told you that I paid money to go and try to find it because I want to disassociate from my life for a small window of time. And so we pay for entertainment to fill that joy, that happiness that we desire. We pay for songs or we steal them. We pay for music. We pay for movies. Why? Because everything inside of us wants to be happy. We just want to be happy. We want everybody around us to be happy. We want our kids to be happy, so we overindulge. We just want this thing called happiness. Eugene Peterson puts it this way: society is a bored, gluttonous king employing a court jester to divert it after an overindulgent meal. Ouch. But that kind of joy never penetrates our lives, never changes our basic constitution. The effects are temporary. A few minutes, a few hours, a few days, at most. When we run out of money, the joy trickles away. We cannot make ourselves joyful. Joy cannot be commanded, purchased, or arranged. You can purchase happiness. You can purchase happiness, and it will last for a moment, but you can't purchase joy. It can only come from God. Let's keep going to help you understand what I'm saying here. Joy in my situation. But what about my situation? My situation isn't good. I'm not feeling happy right now. My life is not a joyous experience right now. It's just, there's nothing about it that says joy. So in Psalm 126 at the end, it says, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams of the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." It's, for some of us going up to worship you, God, it's not joyful right now. It's not. Help us. This is the Negev in Israel. This is what it looks like most of the time. See that nice, beautiful brownness? Dead and dreary. Something really cool happens when the rain comes. When the rain comes to the Negev and the rivers start flowing again, the rivers were there all along, but there was no water in them. And then when the rains come in the spring, something amazing happens. The flowers come to the surface. And as far as you can see, in the middle of the desert, is flowers. It goes from the most dreary place in the world to one of the most beautiful places in the world when the rains come. And so as they're going up to the temple, some of them are shouting, "My circumstance right now, God, is not good. Please restore my fortune. Please restore my freedom. I don't feel free today. I just need some freedom. I need to see the flowers. Because the flowers are pretty, and right now my life looks a little dreary." And they go on to sing, "As we sow seeds of tears, spreading those seeds around, my current circumstance is tears, but I know after the tears comes a harvest. Right now it's not good, but afterwards I know it will be. We'll reap with these songs of praise again. I'll be able to shout those songs of praise. I'll be able to sing them, but right now it's really, really hard. But I know there's a time that's coming when I can do it." As they spread those seeds around, they take root. And this is the neat part. And this is what I believe about this thing, joy, which is a state, not a feeling. The seeds of those flowers are there all along. Those seeds are there. The potential for the flowers is always there. It's not dependent on the rain whatsoever. When the rain comes, then you get to see the response. What the Israelites understood here is that joy is the result of having a relationship with God. Joy is the result of having a relationship with God. And my current circumstance doesn't dictate my relationship with God. The current thing that I'm running through does not dictate my relationship with God. I don't feel happy right now, but I can still have joy because God. I don't feel happy. The feelings aren't there, but I can still be in a state of joy because God. So whether my circumstances is good or my circumstance is bad, it should not and does not affect joy. So in the midst of whatever circumstance that you're experiencing today, and happiness doesn't seem to be overflowing in your life, it does not change the fact or the truth that God wants to give you joy. And the joy is right underneath the surface. Because joy is not changed by your circumstance. Joy is the state of being in a relationship with God. And so you have freedom with God, even though your circumstance doesn't feel free. And that's a subtle shift that we have to get through. Why? Because the Israelites knew that eventually they were going to screw up and they were going to be in captivity again. And when they were in captivity, it did not change this. It did not change their relationship with God. Their circumstance changed, but their freedom in God remained. And so for some of us this morning, we came here this morning not feeling very joyous, not feeling very happy. And I want to take some time and I want to pray over you. Because the truth is, the circumstance that you're experiencing right now does not affect your relationship with God. It doesn't. And so I want to pray for all of you right now. And if you're not feeling joyous this morning, the words that are coming out of my mouth just sound like words. We want to come around you. I don't care if you've had a relationship with God for 40 years or 4 minutes. If you want an encounter with God's joy this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand in just a couple minutes. Or if you're ready now. We're family here. And as the Israelites went up to the temple, some of them felt joyous and some of them didn't. But coming together as family to the temple, everybody got to experience joy. And so if this morning you are not feeling joyous, I want to pray joy over you. If you've never had a relationship with Christ, the giver of joy, now would be a really good time to stand. But if you've been in a relationship with Jesus for 4 minutes or 40 years, and currently, right now, the circumstance feels a little dry to you, I just want you to stand. Go ahead. No judgment is allowed in this room, just so you know. If you don't feel joy this morning, I want you to go ahead and stand. And those of us who are sitting, and joy is easy for us right now, I want you to gather around somebody who is standing. Some of you still need to stand, I know. Don't fake it this morning. All right. Gather around those that are standing, those in the balcony. Find somebody that's standing. Gather around them. The rest of us, just join with me in this prayer. Pray with me for those that are standing. You can pray for them where they are, but I'm gonna lead us all out in prayer. Lord, those that are standing right now, their current circumstance is all that they can see. Their current circumstance is all that is visible. And it doesn't feel joyous. Right now, Holy Spirit, as they see those around them that are standing with them, may they know deep down in their soul that joy is real. It may not feel like it right now, but as we stand with one another, understanding the truth that you bring joy, I ask that you would overflow them with your joy. Enemy of their souls, I push you out of the way. You have no authority to speak any condemnation or fear or shame or despair over them. Instead, we pray peace and joy and strength over them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as a response of joy this morning, we're going to take communion together. And we're going to do it differently than we normally do. Normally, we have you come up as family. Today, we're going to pass it as family. So go ahead and take a seat wherever you are. And those of you that we've asked to come and pass the communion elements, would you come forward? There's a couple up top and a couple down below. taking communion together is not a funeral. It's not. It's a joyous occasion. Why? Because God himself took on flesh to die for you and for me. Can we get an amen to that?
Amen.
No other God that's ever been talked about in the history of mankind took on flesh for his creation. That is why we believe that he is the true God. And then the night before he gave his life for you and for me, he got his buddies together. And he said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back for you. So in the meantime, whenever you get together in community, remember me. And he took some bread and he said, this is my body given for you. Take and eat. Take part in the truth that I came for you. So as they come and they pass this bread to you, take on to that bread. Hold on to that bread. Think about the fact that God took on flesh for you, and just sit and soak in that for a minute. And then he brought the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. Because life is in the blood. And when that blood was shed for you and for me, life came into being. We were dead and now we're alive spiritually. And when he passed that cup, it was symbolic of his blood being shed for us. So as often as you drink that cup, as weird as it sounds, you're taking part in the remembrance of God who took on flesh and gave his life for you and for me. And so when we take these elements together and we sit and we soak in the fact of what God has done for us, we can't help but respond with joy. This is not a funeral. This is a celebration. So let's go up to the temple together. Would you join me as they come and pass the elements?